Congress has returned to Washington for 2 days, and already things are crabby. But the lame duck session has a lot of work to do. First and foremost, pass spending bills because of the continuing resolution, which expires on December 11th. The Senate and House Appropriations Committee chairs have been working on it, but the coming change in the makeup of Congress complicates things. For a look ahead, we turn to Eric Wasson, who covers Capitol Hill for Bloomberg. Eric, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so right now there has been, and as you've written, there's an appropriations bill, an omnibus, that's being negotiated between Barbara Mikulski on the Senate side and Hal Rogers on the House side. Aside from what people might add to it, what is the status of it?
Well, I talked to both of the chairmen yesterday, and Mikulski told me that she's hopeful they'll have the outline, what they call in appropriators jargon 302Bs. That's the subtitles for all 12 components of the omnibus by this weekend. Hal Rogers also said that progress is going well. But yesterday we saw quite a kerfuffle over some comments by Senator Jeff Sessions, who's the presumptive budget chairman next year, who's now calling for a short-term CR. He and a group of conservatives are pushing for that because they want to use an omnibus to defund President Obama's immigration executive action, something that's going to be coming as soon as next week, that would provide more deferred action for undocumented immigrants. And that's something that people in the conservative wing of the Republican Party are adamant about. So that's could provoke a fight over this. But the appropriators are working behind the scenes and trying to get their omnibus through, and they're reporting good progress, at least on the details.
So there's a lot of axes in all of this. You've got the disagreement among Republicans to some degree, it sounds like, because I think Mitch McConnell has said he does not want a government shutdown, and I think Hal Rogers said the same thing.
Yeah, I think your listener shouldn't be that worried about a government shutdown. I think the question really is, are we going to see a CR in the lame duck? Pushing it into next year, or are we going to see this omnibus and a clearing of the decks? I think McConnell really would like to have a clearing of the decks just to finish up old business, and then they can start on the 2016 cycle with some of these major projects, using budget reconciliation for tax cuts or probably changes to a Obamacare. I think that's what he would prefer, but it just depends on how much opposition. One of the things in the House, Matt Sandman, who's the Tea Party-backed Republican from Arizona, he circulated a letter calling for this short-term CR, and it had 50 signatures as of yesterday. So it would be interesting to see how much of John Boehner's conference signs on. Obviously, if we get higher than half, it's going to be a problem for the Speaker, and he may actually go for the short-term CR.
And just as a question of procedure, when do Republicans pick their leadership for the 114th Congress?
Oh, yes. Well, there's going to be today, in fact, there's going to be some leadership elections. I think that there's really no surprises. McConnell will be the majority leader in the next Congress. Boehner will be coming back. There's some lower ballot races, such as for Republican policy chairman in the House. But I think, as far as the leadership, we can expect the same cast of characters. And then once that's in place, the steering committee in the House will start to meet next week to determine who's going to get on that appropriations committee. It's going to be quite a shuffle of chairmen, with people like Frank Wolf, who chaired the Commerce, Science, Justice Committee, leaving and retiring from Congress. So we're still trying to track down where the shuffle is going to break down in the House. And of course, in the Senate, most of the ranking members on the Senate Appropriations Committee are going to become the subcommittee chairman. But one of the things there is that Mike Johanns from Nebraska is retiring. He chairs the Financial Services Subcommittee that is in charge of the IRS budget, and it remains to be seen who will take over that slot. And that's always a controversial bill, given the IRS's responsibilities in enforcing Obamacare, and of course the whole issue with tracking conservative political groups.
Well, I hate to bring too much politics into this because that's not really our topic, but
right.
In terms of what the sums are, the subtotals that Barbara Mikulski says will be ready by this weekend,
right?
Apparently, Mitch McConnell, since he will be already elected to lead the Republicans in the next Congress, even if the numbers are unpalatable to a lot of Republicans that they're coming up with, it doesn't really matter because he's got his job. And by the same token, should there be a shutdown, as you say, it's a remote chance, but if there was a shutdown, it doesn't matter in terms of politics either, because the new Republicans are already elected, and certainly the 2013 shutdown didn't help them, didn't hurt them too badly in the last elections.
Well, that is an interesting observation. Yeah, certainly they rebounded, the Republican brand rebounded enormously from the October 2013 shutdown. But, you know, I think on the other hand, there's a different electorate that comes in 2016. You know, there's such a record low turnout in the midterm, and with a president on the ballot, we're going to see a return of interest in politics. And I think there's a sense, at least among McConnell and others, that they need to show they can govern in order to get the White House back. There's just a feeling that the country won't give them the executive authority if they're just viewed as people very willing to shut down the government. So I think there's certainly a strain that wants to back away from that, you know, kind of confrontation. And as you said, McConnell came out the day after the election that there will be no shutdown, no more cliffs. So, you know, I think he's going to work as hard as. I think the 302Bs issue that they outlined that I mentioned, I think that can be resolved. There are some issues that we could go through, such as in the transportation and HUD bill, where there's a funding gap. And obviously on programs, whether it's for the Joint Strike Fighter or littoral combat ships, there's some differences. But they managed to work those out, those kinds of differences out in the January omnibus of this past year. So I think there's a track record for Mikulski and Rogers to sort of cut a deal here.
We're speaking with Eric Wasson. He's a reporter for Bloomberg Government. Yeah, I was going to ask you, what are the big sticking points at this point budgetarily? Because presumably, this budget would fund the Affordable Care Act for another year. And then there's also the question over, as you say, some of those DOD platforms.
Yeah, that's right. I think that, you know, the House never produced a labor HHS bill, which because of the Obamacare issue. So that's riding out there. And I think we've done an analysis at BGov, my colleagues, Adam Shank, Daniel Parnas, Cameron Lucy, and Stacey O'Mara. And I worked together on a piece where we looked at the different bills, and some of them we've graded really as medium, difficult, or very difficult, interior environment, agriculture, FDA, and some of them very easy, like the Commerce Justice bill, defense we put into medium, just because there's this issue of how much war funding to provide. Obviously, the president has asked for more money to fight the Islamic State terrorist group, and it remains to be seen how much he's going to get. You know, Homeland Security has some issues there, too, because there's that outstanding request. If your listeners remember, in the summer, the president asked for $3.7 billion to deal with child migrants coming across the border. The flows have decreased, but OMB says that the request basically still stands. So it remains to be seen how much can be added into that budget. You know, and again, as I mentioned, the transportation bill has a problem. Federal Housing Administration receipts were low by about $2 billion, came in below estimates, and they've had to try to figure out a way to do cuts. And, you know, the House has things banning high-speed rail, et cetera. And there are lots of riders as well that the House put in. The environmental bill has a much lower number for the EPA. It's about $655 million less for EPA. That's a very big gap, and there's lots of policy provisions in there, from regulation of existing power plants to boilers to the Endangered Species Act. So there are, you know, a lot of issues, and I think that's why they're saying they're planning to release this omnibus if they're given the full green light from everybody on December 8th. Which will create a very dramatic last week of the lame duck session, with the government shutdown looming December 11th. But sometimes that's how they get these bills through, by creating sort of a cliff or a deadline and ramming it through within a couple of days.
So the CR expires December 11th. That's also the last day of the lame duck session?
Yeah, that's right. That's what they're talking about. Now, again, we'll see if we can get to the Senate. If there are, you know, senators like Ted Cruz and Mike Lee of Utah who want to filibuster or cause some delays, we could see a short-term CR kicking it into the next week. But you still have a little running room there before the holidays. So I think there is that possibility. But if appropriators have their way, that we'll see this bill dropped, not going through committee, going right to the floor the week of December 8th and get enacted.
So what's likely to happen then is that the conservative wing might try some gambits before the end of the lame duck session, December 11th. But the leadership on the Republican side would like to keep its powder dry for the next Congress altogether.
Yeah, I think that's the dynamic right now. But what we're seeing play out in the next few days is what was the reaction to Obama's executive order. You say he's going to do something, but we haven't seen the details. And, you know, if it, you know, some of the people like Jeff Sessions are saying this would, you know, fully legalize all the undocumented immigrants and give them ID cards. And there's a lot of sort of hyperbole out there. So we need to just see what the order is, how it plays, and what the reaction is. And if there is an overwhelming reaction, I think we will see a CR just because it will be too hard for leaders to keep the omnibus on track for the lame duck.
And in terms of the omnibus bill, the final total of it, where does that figure fall in relation to what the administration requested for 2015? And does it meet the Budget Control Act number without sequestration?
Right. Well, they're talking about the Budget Control Act number is $1.014 trillion, and they're going to meet that. And, of course, there's war funding up above that, and then some disaster funding, and this emergency funds for Ebola of about $6 billion. So we're looking at, it's getting up to close to $1.1 trillion, the exact number. Could be about $1.08 trillion, I estimate. But we'll have to see exactly how the Ebola money comes in, the ISIL money comes in. But there's really no talk of addressing or revisiting sequestration because the Ryan Murray deal, the budget deal from 2013 is still in effect. Now, next year we're going to see this conversation about sequestration return, and we'll see how that plays out.
Well, we'll have to have you back then. That should be an interesting one. Eric Wasson is a reporter with Bloomberg Government. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks so much, Tom.